Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
May I speak in the name of our loving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Before we start, could somebody possibly find me a glass of water? That'd be all. Oh, thanks, Sheena. That's enough. Got one. Why do bad things happen to good people? It's an age-old question, and I'm not even going to attempt an answer this morning. But just because there isn't an easy answer doesn't mean the question isn't important. Thank you. There's a little poem. It goes like this. The rain, it raineth every day upon the just and unjust fella, but mostly on the just, because the unjust hath the just's umbrella. Now, the thing is, if God is supposedly in charge, why do bad things happen? Why are so many people suffering in Nepal and actually all over the world right now? Why is life so hard? We try our best to live how God wants us to, and life still hits us really hard sometimes. Occasionally, the Bible can come in handy, believe it or not. The Bible can help us find ways to protest against what happens to us, even to protest against God. It doesn't expect us to be completely holy all the time. We get to be raw and honest and allow our pain and anger to be expressed. Jeremiah was one of the best complainers. He did a lot of complaining, and he had a lot to complain about. He was a prophet. For 50 years, he told the people what God was saying to them, and they mostly ignored it. They didn't like what he had to say. They preferred to live in happy ignorance of the consequences of their behaviour. They weren't unlike many people in the world today. So instead of listening and changing their behaviour, they attacked Jeremiah. They traumatised him, they targeted him, they imprisoned him. And his protest in the reading today seems completely justified. He accuses God of abandoning him, of setting him up to fail. And Jeremiah voices this anger and distress. You've let me down, God. I did what you said, and now look what's happening. You were supposed to be on my side. He voices his utter despair. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Good question. Jeremiah voices the questions that we all have at some time or other. Why has this happened to me? What did I do to deserve this? How am I supposed to keep going if this is happening to me? Why did I get this diagnosis? Why did someone I love get so sick? Why is everything going wrong? I'm frightened, God. You've let me down. You've abandoned me. We all want a nice, relatively problem-free life. We all feel at times that we just want to take the path of least resistance. And it's very easy to try and rope God in to help us pursue our goal. God, I just need a nice holiday. Would you provide me with a parking space at Sainsbury's? And recently, I've been praying this one. God, can you just cool the weather down a bit? That might have been answered, but you never know. The trouble is, selfishness is actually not that good for us. It's not good for the people around us. It's not good for our world. And there are reasons why doing something for someone else is good for our own mental health. Let's think for a moment about our gospel reading today. Jesus is walking straight towards what we might call a total disaster. And Peter, obviously, as you would, he thinks it's a mistake. I've explained this before, but I think it's worth repeating. Jesus doesn't actually call Peter the devil. It's one of those things that gets lost in translation. The word he uses, Satan, comes from Hebrew, and it just means an obstacle. Jesus is basically telling Peter to get out of the way. It's still strong language, but it's not quite as strong as the impact that it has on us reading it. Jesus has a different agenda, and it isn't the easy option. A nice life is not on the cards. It's not who he is, and it's not why he came. If we are followers of Jesus, we have to remember that it's actually not God's job to give us easy lives or to wrap us up in cotton wool so nothing can hurt us. I've been reading news reports about the tragedy that happened at the big church festival this weekend. And in the comments, there were quite a few people who wanted to know, where was God? Why didn't God show up and do something about it? You know? And obviously, the answer is there isn't a God. Otherwise, he would have done something. He'd have protected his followers. You know? But being a follower of Jesus doesn't mean we're immune to bad things happening. We can pray for anything we like, and sometimes those prayers are answered. But God isn't Santa Claus. Jesus says we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross if we want to follow him. It's a downwardly mobile trajectory. And any church that tries to say it's about success or power or getting rich, that's not the gospel they're preaching. It's not Jesus' gospel. We sometimes need to choose the path, the difficult path, not the path of least resistance. But it's not so that we become joyless and miserable. It's not so we feel we've ticked all the boxes and we've done what God wants. It's so that we truly discover who we were designed to be, our true selves, who we truly are as fragile, sometimes chaotic, broken, sinful, loving, hurting, empathetic, and beautiful humans. It's a strange thing that we have the cross as the symbol of our faith, an instrument of torture. It's also appropriate. We are marked by something different. We're marked as beloved children of God, the same God who suffered with and for us in Jesus. And the cross becomes true life and peace for us. People who choose the way of the cross instead of the path of least resistance can make the biggest impact in our world. 2 days ago, the date was August the 28th, and I wondered if any of you could tell me what happened on August the 28th, 1963. One there, he cheats. I can say four words and you will know what I'm talking about. I have a dream. If you don't know what I'm talking about, ask the person next to you, because they will. I have a dream. It was Martin Luther King's speech. And it changed so much for so many people because he didn't take the path of least resistance. And those words that he spoke echo down through the decades and still reach us. They still reach us. They still challenge us to judge people not by the colour of their skin, but by the content of their character. And I could pick so many examples, but they're the people that make a difference in our world, in small ways and big ways, when we choose the not easy path, when we choose what's right. So Jeremiah got his answer back from God, it seems, pretty quickly. I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. No magic solutions, no instant relief, but an assurance that Jeremiah hasn't been abandoned, whatever he might feel and whatever he's gone through. This morning we will be offering anointing for healing and wholeness, as we do from time to time. There's nothing magic about it. I mean, God might do something wonderful for you, but that's not the point. This is a physical reminder that God is present. And because it's done in an atmosphere where we are responding to the Holy Spirit, it can be a powerful and healing experience. Most of us know what it's like to suffer in one way or another. I know what it's like to be rushed to hospital in an ambulance, suffering a heart attack. I know what it's like to be talked down from a full-on panic attack by a kind nurse. I also know what it's like to be visited in hospital by my lovely colleague, Father Wayne here, and anointed with oil, just as we will be doing today. And all I can say is that the fear left me, and I knew that God was present. That's the power of this sacrament, the presence of the Holy Spirit and the caring presence of another human being. It all helps. The Church of England, thank God for the Church of England, has guidance around who can or can't receive bread and wine, and I often find it quite restricting. But we can anoint anyone with oil. We can bless each one of you. We can share the very real presence of the Holy Spirit with you, even if it's just for a few moments. So this morning, I want to encourage you to come and receive anointing for healing and wholeness. Whoever you are, and whatever you believe or don't believe, receive the mark of the cross traced on your head and hands in oil. And remember that Jesus also knows what it is to suffer. I leave you with a prayer from the Northumbria community. It has a refrain, "Today I believe." You're welcome to join with that if that's something you want to do. Lord, you have always given bread for the coming day. And though I am poor, today I believe. Lord, you have always given strength for the coming day. And though I am weak, today I believe. Lord, you have always given peace for the coming day. And though of anxious heart, today I believe. Lord, you have always kept me safe in trials. And now, tried as I am, today I believe. Lord, you have always marked the road for the coming day. And though it may be hidden, today I believe. Lord, you have always lightened this darkness of mine. And though the night is here, today I believe. Lord, you have always spoken when time was ripe. And though you be silent now, today I believe. Amen.